This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaver.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC fans. Hobbo, tough night, Friday night, up in Scott Stadium. All you can say, really, is that one team was prepared to play, and one team clearly was not. Unfortunately, the team that was not ready were the beloved Wahoos.
And we're trying to promote them on the show here, but I noticed in your newsletter here saying it was one of the worst performances that you had ever witnessed at Scott Stadium, and you're career at Scott Stadium goes back 30-plus years, so it's not like you've seen
it
three games.
It goes back almost 50 years.
Well,
50.
You were a mighty little tyke when you first went to Scott Stadium.
51. 51 right. Years.
But at any rate, and then you referred to it as debacle. Yeah, I mean, it's
What would you refer to it?
Well, it was bad. If you ever need an omen, that first offensive play where – you know, people were probably, and it was a wet, kind of dreary night anyway. It wasn't a great night to be out there in the stadium, which is unfortunate because a Friday night game in September, had it not been raining, would have been a beautiful evening to watch football. But first offensive play, after a kickoff return that actually got out to about, the 27, 28-yard line. So they had a decent return.
Plus three versus kneeling down in the end zone.
Yeah, so at least he didn't caught at the 18-yard line. But anyway, then, you know.
But I think it was play action.
Play action, and then it was downhill from there. But, you know, you're down 7, 14 seconds into the game. And then, of course, Virginia struggled to move the football, punted to Boise State, and they had, I think, a six-play drive where they scored the second touchdown. So it was 14-0 with 10 minutes plus to go in the first quarter. So, not good. You know, I don't so I'm sure they're both coaches and players are doing a little soul-searching at this point in time. You know, they're a third of the way through the season. Probably, as you look at it, not a bad time to have a week off because they clearly need to correct some stuff in practice. And, of course, Virginia had a total of 5 turnovers?
And 3 of them were inexplicable.
And of course, now they don't force a turnover, so the Cavs are 4 games into the season without forcing a turnover. You wonder how many Division I-A teams have not forced a turnover yet this year. So so clearly they're not doing enough on offense, not getting to the quarterback. Although they did force the one fumble, I think, in the game, but Boise State recovered it, as I recall.
Virginia has had some chances. They've had their hands on the ball at different times, but they're clueless. There were times in the game Friday night where Virginia had 3 defenders running down the field with a wide receiver, and another player is in the short zone with no one around him for 20 yards. That's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable. I'll tell you something else that's inexcusable. When teams run a fake play to a running back or a quarterback that's been brought in motion from behind the line of scrimmage and they release a tight end up the field and they manage to get that big lumbering tight end behind your defensive backs, that's inexcusable. And they overthrew that guy in the first quarter. He was wide open.
Yeah, that was a touchdown had they made the play. And a lot of times a linebacker's covering that tight end. But, you know, a linebacker should be able to cover a tight end. Maybe not a wide receiver, but a tight end.
The middle
end,
linebacker should not be 10 yards behind.
Yeah, absolutely. So it looked like a missed assignment. But on tonight's show, we probably should talk. We're going to have momentarily Gene Arnett, the former quarterback, Case Luzar, and Dr. Andrew Bogle. But we're going to start with Gene Arnett. So why don't you introduce Gene?
First off, we're delighted to have Gene on tonight's show. Gene Arnett was a captain and former 2-year starter at quarterback for the Cavaliers. I believe in 67 and 68, I think his best season was 1968, where he threw for about not quite 1,500 yards, I believe, which is pretty impressive back in those days because mostly good football was played with the run game, and the pass was used infrequently when you got teams imbalanced, unlike today where they throw on almost every single down.
And that 68 team was 7-3. Boy, would we take 7-3 this year.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, it's not too late.
That's
hey,
true.
It's not too late.
We're, you know, 7-3 is within our grasp. All we got to do is win the next six.
I have an idea. We'll make Gene the offensive coordinator, and we'll bring him back. And I'm sure George Welsh, we can scare him up.
Remember this moment when we reel off six straight wins and we become 7-3.
Mean Gene can do it. Gene, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what a great week.
Oh, we timed your appearance perfectly. We wanted to make sure that you had an exciting game to talk about, Gene.
Well, it was exciting for one side and not quite so exciting for us. But we actually, I don't have any trouble saying that we saw a mighty good football team come into town.
Oh, yeah.
They could, I do not bet ever, but I think for sure they could beat Notre Dame and they would give UCLA everything they wanted. They were coached perfectly. The great defenses, they set that up. And, gosh, that quarterback had just a great game.
You know, it's unbelievable that the nephew of Mark Rypien, the former Washington Redskin Super Bowl winning quarterback, his nephew from, I believe it's Spokane, Washington, stepped in there. And I think last Friday night was his first true start.
Yeah.
And you know what? He looked very calm and poised. Now, I got to tell you, Gene, what happened with the offensive line for Virginia from the first play on? They looked like they were just totally disorganized.
Well, I'm going to go back and say they really prepared well. I don't know who their defensive coordinator was, but it was almost old school football. All they brought at us was a 3-4 or a 4-3, and they just overpowered our linemen, and we couldn't tell where they were coming from. They played a great, great job, and they covered our receivers well. The quarterback, what was 24 to 35, it's three touchdowns. I don't know the exact numbers.
I think that's about right.
That was him, but the defense kept Matt on his back foot all night long. And when you're on your back foot as a quarterback, nothing good is going to happen.
Well, he looked panicky at times. I mean, he would drop back, and as he was getting his feet as close to set as he ever got that night,
mm-hmm.
It's like they were pumping. I started watching him, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's panicking. And, you know, he's barely gotten back in the pocket. And
yeah, well,
how does a quarterback deal with, the uncertainties and the pressure of that situation? How can Matt Johns learn to not fall into that trap again in the games going forward?
I don't know that really that's possible with as much pressure as they had. The only saving grace he could have had was to slide left or right. But the defense was right in his face. And I'm interested to hear what Case has to say, because a quarterback needs to find somebody that he can just knows is he can find open. I didn't see the tight end dragging hardly any across the line. He's my go-to guy. He's coming across as I'm moving. He's moving in one direction. I can find him quickly. I didn't see a whole lot of the receivers coming back to try to help him. But he didn't have much time to find them anyway.
Gene,
they were in his face.
By the way, we're visiting with former Virginia quarterback Gene Arnett and former radio guy for, what, 1 or 2 years, Gene? Did you do it 1 or 2 years on the sideline?
I think it was 2, and that was about all I needed.
Well, you know, the problem with the sideline gig is sometimes you have a night like Friday night where it's raining. You know, you're out there in the weather rather than up in the booth. But, Virginia, we felt probably as good as you can feel after a loss about Notre Dame, you know, where you thought, well, you know, we played pretty well, had a chance to beat a top 10 team. William and Mary, they won the game but may not have played that well, and then Friday was a disaster. So where are we, and what do the coaches and the players need to do starting now moving forward from Pitt and thereafter?
Well, I'm happy to say I never have been in that situation, but I can tell you that from teams that I've played on, this is all about the captains and the teammates closing the doors and looking at each other. And the coaches, they don't want to hear any more rah-rah speeches. They don't want to hear any more of that. They've got to get down in their guts and look each other in the eye and determine whether you want to play or whether you don't. And that can start in the huddle. I don't see them doing that in the huddle. The guys are missing blocks, or what do we got? We had 70-some yards in penalties in the first half. Yeah, I'm going to be in that guy's face. And so are my teammates. And I think they need to close the door, find out who wants to play, and go to the coaches. And we got a bye week. Let's open all the positions up again. Open them up. Just because you were a starter last week, you might be third team this week. And really find out who wants to play. And I'm saying hit. Let's hit these weeks and not do all the pushing and shoving. That's would be the only answer I could come up with, because the same old is not working.
Gene, one thought that I had was watching the game, and I think you make a good point about the tight end or maybe even a fullback or a flanker being the hot read when the other team has got such a fierce pass rush or when they blitzed. And, you know, it's funny. I almost felt like midway through the third quarter that Boise State knew the play. Because it seemed like every time Virginia would try X formation, they already shifted right into whatever they wanted to, and it sort of deconstructed Virginia's strategy. But, you know, looking at some of the skill players Virginia has, and Smoke Mizell and T.J. Thorpe both scored on brilliant plays in the in the first half, yet it's not like Johns could find him very often. What do you think?
I think he was totally under pressure. And even though we said we were going to go to back under center, my guess is if you charted it, it might be 20%, maybe 25%. He was still back in the shotgun. And if you're in that shotgun, I'm different. I mean, my era, like you said, was running, quarterbacks ran. It was three and a half yards. And if I can get 3.5 yards every play, I'm going to win every game. I'm going to win every game with 3.5. Now, if I'm in a shotgun and I'm handing the ball off in front of myself, the defense knows where it's going. I'm not a big proponent of that, and that's why I probably couldn't coach anything if they're going to run that type of offense. But I think you can see where the ball is. Once you can do that, they know they got a bullseye right on Matt standing back there. And if they can get the gap and pull and blitz the right guy, he's out there like a rabbit in the middle of the interstate. And that's when you got to find every your receivers. If you're running and sliding, the field opens up to the quarterback. The defensive guys have to freeze. The linebackers have to freeze. And you got to find that guy is out there. I like quarterback scrambling much more than in the pocket.
You know, one situation that I was a little concerned about, I believe it was second quarter, Virginia elected to try to kick about a 47 to 48-yard field goal. And at that particular moment in the game, I felt like Virginia needed to go for it. It was like 4th-and-2 maybe. And they were driving a little bit, and they were keeping the ball away from Boise State. And, of course, Fried missed the kick, which was his third consecutive miss now, which is shocking because he was a Lou Groza nominee, and we were expecting big things from him this year. But clearly, at that point, wasn't that maybe a better time in the game to be going for it, to let the whole Virginia team know that we're going to fight and we're gonna go for this thing right here?
Well, I think the teammates, if you're playing, you would like to have seen that happen, but I can't speak for what was going through the coach's mind on it. I mean, I really don't know, but I can tell you that when if you've been practicing all summer long, 2-a-days, and you practiced in the spring, 2-a-days, and I can't get 2 yards, then I got a problem.
Gene, and again, this is Gene Arnett, former quarterback. By the way, a couple of moments ago when you correctly pronounced era as opposed to era, you really made my wife happy at home listening relative to the true student-athlete over there at the University of Virginia. But before we got started this year, there was talk that the offensive line was improved, but what I hear you saying, maybe that's not the case.
Well, I'm certainly not the judge, but I can think – I think if you went to the ball game and you saw the defense and how they played versus the offensive line, I'd say we need a little bit of improvement. I don't know why it happened. I don't know where they were down. Every team gets down. And once you get down, then the momentum goes. And, you know, it can go goes from the whole attitude on the people standing on the sideline, the fans. I just think we just totally got down. Maybe we were down because we'd been beaten by a couple other teams that were good, and maybe we thought we were better than we were. I don't think we were nearly as good as Boise State up front on either side of the ball, and I love the defense that Boise State threw at us, and I'd have hated to have been Matt Johns.
You know, their defense came back largely intact after last year, and certainly for UVA, and I've had conversations with quite a few folks in the media, as well as some friends. Clearly the loss of Eli Harold and Henry Coley and Max Vallis and Anthony Harris and Daquan Romero, all those guys, they're hard to replace. There was a lot of seniority, a lot of tackles, a lot of sacks, and this team is still trying to figure out how to get in position, keep running backs in front of them, locking up and getting them to the ground. And Lord knows, they still don't have a turnover yet, which is mind-boggling through 4 games. But, Gene, we hope for better things in the future. If there is a bright spot out there, what might that be from what you've seen over the first 4 games?
Well, I mean, the coaches, to me, know where the problems are. The players know where the problems are. And I don't know. I think the fact that our wide receivers seem to be really the highlight on the offensive side of the game. And I can't even pronounce his name, Z-Man, the guy that runs the kickoffs. How do you pronounce his name?
That's Olamide Zaccheaus.
Okay, well, you keep pronouncing. I'm going to call him Z-Man. But he's a bright spot. And, you know, it's week by week. And we're gonna put our hats on, and we're gonna go. Who knows? I don't know how good fit is. You know, maybe we're on the same level they are. And these are young kids, and you hit it on the head. The defense our players are young, really young. And let's see how fast they develop. That would be a thing that I would really be pushing for. And
we've got to
protect Matt. Just got to protect him.
Well, hopefully they get it figured out fast because the season's sliding by. But at any rate, Gene, we appreciate, as always, you're taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight. And we'll have you back one time when it's a little more optimistic here.
please feel free to do that.
We're gonna save a slot for you after the next win. How's that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I deserve one.
Yep,
okay?
Former Cavalier Gene Arnett with us. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we got Dr. Andrew Bogle with our injury updates. Stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking.